It's Thursday, June 11th, and you're listening to the Uprise Daily. This is a grassroots effort from activists around the country to compile information about the protests that have been happening in the wake of the police murders of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. Our work is by no means comprehensive, and it's all done on a volunteer basis. That being said, here's what happened on Wednesday, June 10th. In Oakland, California, thousands of protesters marched through the streets and visited Mayor Libby Schaaf's home to demand immediate defunding of the police. In Washington, D.C., for the 13th day in a row, there were decentralized protests across the city. While there have been no centrally organized marches or rallies in the past couple of days, people have continued to show up at Lafayette Square, Black Lives Matter Plaza, and locations across the city to protest, share ideas, and create community to sustain the movement for the long haul. The protests Wednesday lasted into the night. In Orlando, Florida, protests continued downtown. The mayor was confronted by activists of color who wanted to know why the police department has routinely responded to protests with violence. He responded by pushing the narrative that there are outside agitators, quote, from Jacksonville, who are carrying, quote, knives and guns in confiscated backpacks. Curfews have been lifted across the city since Monday. In St. Petersburg, Florida, protests have persisted for 12 days in a row, with marches taking place throughout the day and night in and around the downtown area. Three marches took place, each one bigger than the last, and culminating in a large nighttime march through the St. Petersburg historically black South Side. The marches have become more organized in recent days with the creation of a bicycle team to help manage traffic. Social media and security teams have also been formed. Organizers are currently working on setting a list of demands. In Atlanta, Georgia, several protests and marches occurred throughout the city and in its suburbs. Protesters gathered at the Capitol demanding the removal of a statue of former Ku Klux Klan leader John Brown Gordon. A grassroots jail support effort has continued to sit vigil outside the Atlanta Detention Center, awaiting the release of those arrested during the protests. More protests have been planned throughout the week. In Chicago, Illinois, approximately 3,400 arrests have been made during the recent uprising, and Chicagoans are now working to free protesters who have been locked up. Compounding this, Tropical Storm Cristobal has been pounding Chicago for the past 2 days with heavy rain and wind. Chicagoans are noting that while other police forces have harmed, terrorized, and killed people with tear gas, rubber bullets, pepper spray, and flashbangs, Chicago PD has relied on beating protesters with batons and mass incarceration. And while 1 in 6 COVID cases in the entire state of Illinois is related to the City of Chicago jail system, Chicagoans, along with many protesters nationwide, are questioning police tactics in the face of a global pandemic health emergency. After having a SWAT team called on them, students at DePaul University are demanding that the university and the city defund, disarm, and disband the police. In Indianapolis, Indiana, the police department identified 4-year veteran DeJore Mercer as the officer who shot Drezjan Sean Reed. Just hours after his name was released, more than 100 protesters marched downtown calling for additional demands to be met. The special prosecutor in the case is requesting state police rather than IMPD, the city police, conduct the investigation. Marion County prosecutor has announced it has filed charges against 25 people associated with the protests the weekend of May 29th through 30th, and is reviewing videos and maybe pressing charges against police officers as well. In Louisville, Kentucky, the police report from the killing of Breonna Taylor on March 13th has been released, nearly 3 months after the murder, and is almost entirely blank. It lists her injuries as none, even though she was shot at least 8 times and died on her hallway floor in a pool of blood, according to attorneys for her family. It lists the charges as death investigation, LMPD involved, but checks the no box under forced entry, even though officers used a battering ram to knock in Taylor's apartment door. It also lists under the offenders portion of the report the 3 officers who fired in Taylor's apartment, fatally shooting her. Sergeant John Mattingly, 47, Miles Cosgrove, 42, and Brett Hankinson, 44. The narrative of events has only 2 words, PIU investigation, and the rest of the report has no information filled in at all. In Lexington, Kentucky, a group of demonstrators marched in downtown for the 13th night in a row. Larger protests will resume on Thursday. In Baltimore, Maryland, up to 1,000 people gathered for a demonstration and teach-in led by Baltimore City public high school students, discussing Black mental health, history, and literature, and calling for school funding and anti-bias training for school staff. In Duluth, Minnesota, on Tuesday, a group of mostly Black, Indigenous, and people of color youth marched, chanted, and sang through downtown for the 10th night, demanding justice for George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. Over the last week, protesters have numbered up to 150 people and have been occasionally blocking streets and intersections. In St. Louis, Missouri, 2,000 demonstrators gathered and marched in Florissant, Missouri, in response to a police officer having hit a suspect with an unmarked police car on June 2nd, killing him. The police officer was subsequently fired, but no charges have been brought against him. Protesters have been gathering each night, with crowds growing each day. There have been no arrests and no confrontations at the Florissant protest gatherings. Florissant, Missouri is situated very close to Ferguson, and given its proximity to Ferguson, which in 2014 was the site of Michael Brown's murder, after Brown repeatedly yelled, "Hands up, don't shoot," to his killers, the fact that no flagrant police violence has taken place is notable and surprising. In Cincinnati, Ohio, the Cincinnati African American Firefighters Association led a march of around 100 people from City Hall to the Hamilton City Courthouse in protest of systemic racism and police brutality. The City Council voted 7-2 to recommend the city solicitor drop the low-level charges against protesters. There is currently no curfew in place. In Portland, Oregon, there were several actions and protests throughout the city on Wednesday. Over 1,000 people gathered at City Hall to give testimony and rally in support of defunding the police, with the ultimate goal of disbanding the police. Care Not Cops, Don't Shoot Portland, and Portland African American Leadership Forum have organized massive letter-writing campaigns, and over 700 people have volunteered to testify at an upcoming budget hearing. There was also a solidarity bike ride, a skateboard rally, and a motorcycle ride in the afternoon and evening, most notably through City Hall, to support the Black Lives Matter movement. Thousands of people, once again, marched from Revolution Hall to a park where speakers addressed the crowd. Hundreds of people gathered at the Justice Center in downtown, and some protesters removed fences around the Justice Center and the federal courthouse. Portland police fired stun grenades and other projectiles at the crowd. In Eugene, Oregon, hundreds of protesters dressed in black and carried lit candles in downtown. The march paused at Alton Black Park for speeches and poetry readings by local Black Lives Matter activists. In Nashville, Tennessee, protesters gathered in front of the state capitol after the Tennessee legislature refused to ratify a bill to remove the bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest, which is situated inside the Capitol building. Bedford Forrest was a grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. At least 15 Nashville Metro Council members have signed a resolution calling for the resignation of Police Chief Steve Anderson, and the American Civil Liberties Union has also called for Anderson's removal, citing his refusal to work alongside Nashville's Community Oversight Board. In Austin, Texas, Black Lives Matter activists are demanding the arrest of officers who inflicted head trauma on two young protesters at recent protests, resulting in hospitalization. Protests are planned for Thursday morning. The Austin City Council plans to vote Thursday on decreasing the police department's funding along with other reforms. KVUE-TV reported that the City Council has previously expressed support for budget cuts and reform measures for the Austin PD. In Houston, Texas, hundreds of people protested outside City Hall as the City Council unanimously voted on a budget to include a whopping $20 million increase for the Houston Police Department. A Christopher Columbus statue located in Bell Park was vandalized, with Columbus's face and hands covered in red paint, signifying the death and destruction of his entrance onto this continent. In Salt Lake City, Utah, 1,300 Black Lives Matter protesters held a rally at the City Council building downtown. The funeral for Bernardo Palacios Carbajal, a person of color murdered by the police on May 23rd, was held at 1 p.m. with several hundred people in attendance. Protesters have continued to uplift the Carbajal's family request to demand justice for his death. A rally about Carbajal's murder was attended by 1,000 people. A seventh person has been charged for alleged crimes at the May 30th protests. Eight people have been arrested in total, facing serious charges. Several Salt Lake City organizers continue to push for defunding the police. In New York City, New York, on Tuesday, June 9th, 400 Queens residents participated in a rally and march at Juniper Park in Queens. Juniper Park is situated in a residential area where many members of the NYPD reside. There were pro-Trump and off-duty NYPD hecklers on the sidelines of the march. However, their presence did not dissuade the marchers. Also on Tuesday, there was an enormous rally and march with the families of men, women, and children killed by police. The families asked for solidarity and justice and an immediate defunding of the police, and for Mayor Bill de Blasio to be fired. On Wednesday, another solidarity bike ride occurred, with 1,500 cyclists of diverse racial and ethnic backgrounds engaged in another critical mass-style bike ride in solidarity with Black Lives Matter, taking over two bridges and several parks. An ongoing vigil in Brooklyn's McCarran Park has been sustained, and Wednesday marked the vigil's 13th straight day of street presence. The feeling in New York City is one of elation, disbelief, happiness and rage. The stark economic disparity of our current economic system has been laid bare on the streets during the ongoing COVID pandemic. Because of the pandemic, many people have lost their work and housing, and New York City's lack of housing justice has only become more apparent. The current uprising seems to be encompassing several facets of critique of our current system, society, and culture. These tendencies include anti-capitalism, reparations for Black people, and issues-based, campaign-based reforms. On Wednesday, Mayor Bill de Blasio stated he would not consider removing the NYPD from New York's public schools, citing, quote, a huge safety challenge. Educators and advocates, including the New York Civil Liberties Union, have been pushing for the removal of the NYPD from public schools for years, claiming that the NYPD's presence militarizes the education space and creates an unsafe atmosphere. There is also an ongoing campaign in opposition to the austerity, so-called wartime budget, set forth in April by the mayor, which drastically slashes spending on city services, including that of the city's public university system, known as CUNY. In Seattle, Washington, Wednesday saw two separate demonstrations in the city. Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, known as CHAZ, held a people's forum and officially released their list of demands. President Trump, now aware of CHAZ, made a threatening tweet against the residents of the city in regards to the Autonomous Zone. The city's budget committee chair announced that they would be, quote, hearing from other cities that have moved or are moving to more community-based policing strategies, unquote. Additionally, the Seattle School Board has announced the suspension of their partnership with the city police for up to 1 year after learning that police have been using school parking lots as protest staging areas. That's the recap for June 10th. For transcripts of the episode plus an interactive map, go to uprisedaily.com. If you found this episode helpful, please consider sharing to help spread the word. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, stay safe and power to the people.